is Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
This is In-Flight Entertainment,
the throwback quarantine episodes. As everyone out there, podcast land, hope everyone's staying safe and staying away from each other. Well, 6 feet, that is.
Right. So I think we're releasing this episode right around the time when we would normally be at San Diego Comic-Con. And so we figured we would step away from the sports throwback movies and do more of a homage to the people that really dive into the culture of a TV show.
Exactly. Yes, more or less. And and this particular film is about the alumni cast of space opera television series of a space opera television series have to play their role as the real thing when an alien race needs their help. However, they also have to defend both Earth and alien race from a reptilian warlord.
So this movie, the movie that we're talking about, came out Christmas Day, 1999, mm-hmm. and it is Galaxy Quest.
Yes. December. Wow. So December 25th, 1999. So how many cans of string beans, how many flashlights did you buy? How many batteries did you stock up on? Toilet paper, fallout kits. How much did you get? Because this was before 2000, and 1999 was the Y2K is going to kill us all situation.
Right. Yeah, it was the fear that on January 1st, 2000, that all of the infrastructure and computers would shut down because the original programmers didn't program things to reflect the century change or the year change from 99 to 2000. I had nothing. I went on to South Padre Island for Christmas and New Year's and figured if I'm anywhere in the United States, I'm probably pretty safe there because it's a small town.
True. Yeah. Worked out.
Nothing happened.
No, nothing happened. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Nothing happened.
And you, what was your James? Day planning.
I bought a lot of water. I bought a lot of water, a lot of canned ravioli for some reason, and a lot of batteries. Those three things. I was like, yeah, I need these three things. And it happened, and I was really hydrated when it all was said and done. We had a lot of water to drink. Now, 1999. So what we were watching in 1999.
Friends, Seinfeld. If you had HBO, you're probably watching Sex and the City. I don't know. I can't remember what else.
Well, you did get the Friends thing right. They were number five. ER was four. And three, two, and one belong to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Holy shit.
Yeah, we won. That was a big thing. I remember that. Everyone watched that damn show.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't one of them, but it's so many people watched that show. And 1999, everyone was listening to Carlos Santana featuring Rob Thomas, Smooth. Yeah, you couldn't get away from that song. You could not get away from that song that year.
I mean, it's a good song.
It's a good song. Yeah, but you couldn't get away from it. Everyone would play that song.
And then Rob Thomas, after doing that song with Santana, he went and did a song with Willie Nelson called Maria Maria.
Nice. Oh, Robbie. Oh, man. Did he get, did him and Matchbox, did they get together? Did they do another album after?
Or I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think I was really their target audience.
Really? Matchbox 20? Anyway, so Galaxy Quest. Who is in this movie?
It is starring Tim Allen, that plays the captain, Sigourney Weaver, that plays the communications expert, Alan Rickman, that plays like the alien that is on the ship, Tony Shalhoub, how do you say his last name?
I did say Shalhoub for some reason.
Okay, sure. Who plays the engineer. And then we have Daryl Mitchell, who plays the pilot.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Sam Rockwell. So if you've ever watched a Star Trek TV show, there's always the red shirt.
Yep.
And the red shirt in any Star Trek TV show is always the guest actor that ends up getting killed in that episode. So Sam Rockwell plays Guy, and he was red shirt in episode 81, who ends up getting killed. And we meet all of the characters from Galaxy Quest, which is the name of the TV series, which is sort of a ripoff of Star Trek. They're making fun of Star Trek in a way. And we meet them at a Comic Con or a fan con, Galaxy Quest Con, where we see the diehard fans and meet everyone that was part of the show that's sort of angry that they still have to do these things. And Tim Allen's character, Jason, the captain, is really living off of the fans, their energy, their excitement, and he thinks that he's still a god because of this.
So this makes him the ego. Yeah, he's like the egotistical kind of like diva. Like, he's the forefront. He's like, hey, I'm the captain. So, and everyone else is kind of on the side or in the back. Yeah. And he's the one that's the most shittiest to the fans.
Yes.
And he's the most popular, you know, so. And Alan Rick.
Go ahead.
And Alan Rickman is kind of the Spock-ish character within the crew, but he have like the alien kind of wig on, and he's, you know, he's this established, like, you know, Shakespearean British actor who loathes the fandom of this show. I mean, I think if he had other choices, life choices, he would have chose not to be on this show. Yeah, and he kind of stresses that sometimes because he constantly have to say this catchphrase over and over and over. He's so above this, you know, he's so well versed in the arts for him to constantly say this tagline over and over and over. It's like it's his version of live long and prosper. And he hates saying it every turn. And I love how Alan Rickman, God bless, rest in peace, man. He just know how to play his characters so well.
So the catchphrase is, by Grabthar's hammer, we live to tell the tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's another, it says, by something, something, I will avenge you, or you will be revenged.
Also, by Grabthar's hammer, I will avenge you.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Never give up, never surrender.
That was Captain Kirk. I mean, Tim Allen's Captain's character. That's like his thing, you know. There we go. And so, what was it?
So, while they're at this Galaxy Quest Con, a couple of characters in alien outfits come up and ask for their help. So, the aliens' names are Mathisar and Saris, and they're played by Enrico Colantoni and Robin Sachs. Oh, and Patrick Breen. And these aliens, so they actually kidnap Jason, Captain Jason, Tim Allen, and take him to their ship in the hopes that he will help him, that he will help them negotiate with the evil aliens out to kill them. Right. And he's like, sure, whatever. He thinks it's all some sort of stick that he's being paid for. He just doesn't give a fuck. He's just going through the process. And then after he gets home, he realizes that it was all real.
Right. Yeah. When he finds out he's transported from whichever like nebula the ship was on, into his backyard or his like pool, around his pool area. And that's when he's like, oh, that was real. That was real. So he goes to, I think the other actors, crew members, they were ribbon cutting a electronics store, or was it like a furniture store? Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, something like that. And Tim Allen's like, hey guys, I was actually on the ship. And then the aliens, they come back. They're like, oh hey, we need you to come back. And he tells the crew, he's like, hey, like, you guys got to come with us. You got to come with us. Like, this is actually real. So they get zapped or beamed or, rocketed to the actual ship. And, everyone is kind of freaking out, but Jason, he's like, hey, isn't this cool? Like, this, all this time we thought this was fake, but oh, we're actually in space. Look. And the aliens tell Jason that the act that Jason performed pretty much like backfired. And so the reptilian race, I guess, targeted that alien species for like extinction, right?
Yeah. And then the alien species is very childlike. They saw Galaxy Quest and they believed that it was an archive of the events of Earth. And so they went and targeted the Galaxy Quest crew because they thought they were the heroes of Earth that could help them save their species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come to find out, when the reptilian race invades the ship and it captures, have the aliens captive, he demands to see the archival footage. And Jason is trying to tell, the leader of the alien race, like, no, this isn't, we're not actually pilots. Like, this is not a crew. It's a TV show. Like, we're not, we're not actual, space explorers, and the leader of the reptilian, he's like, show him. And they show like a Galaxy Quest episode, and he's like, no, it was all, Walt, was it, it's like plastic. It was like a Christmas tree to lights. That was, the panels. It wasn't real. And, it was a very sad scene a little bit. I was like, oh, the alien was like, but, that can't be right. So the reptilian aliens take over the ship, right? And the crew muster up the courage that they get paid for via TV show to actually save the day. Yeah. Okay. What movie did premise wise, what did this movie remind you of?
Besides Star Trek?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, just like the premise of like Galaxy Quest, like getting a group of people who are not who they are to save something or save the day or something.
I have no idea.
Three Amigos.
Okay.
Because remember, they got the Three Amigos to try to save the town from El Guapo. Yeah, yeah. But they were just actors. So, yeah. Like, the first time I see Galaxy Quest, I'm like, oh, this is Three Amigos, except with Star Trek and sci-fi. This is pretty cool. I like this. It's a good premise. So pretty much like, we get into the third act and, the crew, it's actually being a crew, and they're saving the people or the alien species that need their help. Subplot or side plot is a diehard fan played by young Justin Long. I have to look at him a few times.
It was his very first movie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, snap, that's Justin Long. And so Jason communicates via his communicator to Justin Long's character and need the schematics of the ship, you know, so they can get to the captive aliens that's on the ship. And so, you know, he kind of walk them through, you know, the air ducts and all that stuff so they can, you know, foil the bad alien species plan and save the innocent aliens.
Yes. Now they have to get home and the pilot is in charge of getting them back to Earth. And they make it back, crash into the convention center and make a big giant entrance on stage in front of all of their fans. And then once again, the giant reptilian alien wasn't fully dead and walks out, and the captain kills him in front of everyone. And once again, they're all superstars and the TV shows brought back on.
Galaxy Quest. Well, not Next Generation, because it's the same actors from that
one. Right. So this movie has a lot of internal, like, inside jokes for any Star Trek fans. Mm-hmm. Of the original Star Trek, well, original Next Gen. So in the original one, every time Captain Kirk got in a hand-to-hand fight, he always lost his shirt. So there's a scene where the captain in Galaxy Quest gets in a hand-to-hand fight and loses his shirt. Mm-hmm. In Next Gen, there was an actor whose name was Guy Vardam. And he did a lot of the, like, no-name extras in the series, and he did a lot of the stunts for some of the other actors. And so the Sam Rockwell's character was sort of an homage to that actor, which was very nice. And this film has been so much embraced by the Star Trek fans that at the 2013 Star Trek convention, it was voted a Star Trek film. It was put into the Star Trek film ranking, and it is was voted the 7th best Star Trek film. So
interesting.
And then J.J. Abrams, who did the reboot of the most recent Star Treks, he was a huge fan of this movie. So he has actually put some homages of Galaxy Quest in the new Star Trek movies. So it's like this weird circular Galaxy Quest was honoring the original Star Trek, and then now the new Star Treks are honoring the Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, see, it all comes together. Because I think at the end of the day, it wasn't poking fun at it. It was honoring it in its own way. You know, it wasn't like mocking it. It wasn't, you know, trying to be mean towards, you know, the lore or Star Trek or the Gene Roddenberry vision of, you know, his creation. You know, it honored it in its own way. And the fandom, and how it affect people's lives in a positive way, and how people really enjoy and take these series to heart, and, you know, really internalize the stories and the characters and see themselves through certain characters and things like that. So yeah, of course I could see how this movie, you know, like, the love would be given back. Definitely. Yeah, it gets props. And I have to mention Stan Winston, like the creature effects of Stan Winston, the legendary Stan Winston, was a big part of this film. That's why, like, the leader, the reptilian leader, like, why, like, the creature effects and the look so good.
It's crazy good. I mean,
Stan, the master, Stan Winston.
It looked like almost all of their budget went to the makeup.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, if you're going to do something like that, reach out to the best. And like, and every time I see the design of the leader, the reptilian leader, I'm still in awe of, like, the detail, like the paint, like the paint work, you know, like the proportions of his body, and how like his chest apparatus kind of raises and lowers as he like breathes. Yeah, it's a lot of detail and care went into like his creation, and it shows. I mean, it's a it's not cheap looking.
So the director, his name is Dean Parasot. He actually hasn't done a whole lot of movies. He does have a new movie coming out soon. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure we will review it once it's released. And that is Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we will. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. That's going to be it's going to be pretty interesting.
Maybe we'll do a Bill and Ted's week.
Yeah, Bill and Ted recap. Mm-hmm. Yes, have to. Should we do it? Should we drive to San Dimas and go live from San Dimas? It's the Bill and Ted recap.
I'm not going to lie. I have gone to San Dimas and stopped at the 7-Eleven. Just so that I check to see if there are strange things happening.
No phone booths dropped out of the sky?
Nope, unfortunately. We did go to a Renaissance Fest afterwards, though. So, you know, that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Always fun, those Renaissance Fests. Lots of beer. Yes. All right. So, what is the rating system?
So keep your ass on the sofa. It's a good movie. Put your shoes on. You're not sure. Or run out in the streets and face the people that aren't wearing masks and protest.
Yes.
It's definitely ass on the sofa, but that's because I am a Star Trek fan. I would agree with the 2003 Trek convention people that, yes, this is in the top Star Trek movies. I mean, after Star Trek 2 with Khan.
Yes, which is number one. And four. I mean, cool. Like the Voyage Home. Hey, that's a good one. That's my guilty pleasure one. That's a good one. It's like if you like Star Trek, and if you're familiar with the lore of Star Trek and the shows and just sci-fi, if you're just a sci-fi fan, like just, you know, point blank, it's like, how can you not like this movie? And also the performances. It was a good, like the cast, really great cast. I mean, Tim Allen's going with Alan Rickman, like Sam Rockwell. And Tony Shalhoub. Now, was Tony Shalhoub, was he always stoned?
I couldn't tell if he was stoned or just terrified.
Now, I mean, because he played this so like airy and kind of like, Captain, so yeah. The engine room is it's about to blow up. We're gonna need that brilliant spirit, man. You know, I was like, is he just kind of just high and don't really realize the severity of the situation he's in? He's just playing a very like calm and collective, not realizing it's a life or death situation because he's so like out of his mind high, or I don't know. But that's why I love about his performance. It's such an anomaly. Just like, was he high or was he just weird? Like, I don't know.
I just thought he was so terrified. It was like, what's the worst that could happen? We die.
Even when he says that, you're like, and it's funny, like with all of the crew, you know, when they got transported, everyone was like shaking. And then when he got finally transported, he was just like, oh, all right, man. Like, oh, man. Tony Shalhoub. Love that guy. So, yeah, definitely like ass on the couch. If you haven't seen this movie, what's wrong with you? Just watch this movie. It's not long. It's like an hour and 45 or something like that. I mean,
yeah, it's a good quick movie.
Yeah, totally. Yes, Galaxy Quest, I think, what, it came out in 99, so 21 years? Wow, crazy. Wow, movies are getting old. Cool. All right. So there you have it, guys. Since we can't get to Comic Con or any cons or dress up in our favorite character get up, we can at least sit back and watch the glory days when we used to do that and have fun and enjoy characters and enjoy being around each other's weirdness and fandom.
I would say this is a family safe movie.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It is. No nudity. No, you know. Even though people who are into kids that's into cleavage might enjoy Sigourney Weaver a little more than other characters. But
right.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, it's safe. Cool, guys. So there you have it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We always appreciate all the new ears, all the old ears, the people that's telling the friends, that suggested in-flight entertainment as your choice for, I used to say turbulence-free, but corona-free. Your choice for corona free reviews. Yes. Until next time, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear your mask.
Yes. Peace.